Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Mirakodesh, is daf Pehei, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah. So we've been talking about where we bring the types of grain that we're going to be using for Menachot. So we spoke about the best possible places. There are places that we actually don't bring. So, Ein Mevi'in, Lomi Beta Zivalim, don't bring any of the Menachos grains from a field that was growing on fertilizers, because that is basically either, some learn either because it lends a bad taste from the bad smell of the fertilizer to the grain, which is not suitable for the Mizbeach, or because the very fact that it depends on the precision of the fertilization as opposed to the natural nutrients, it's most likely not being done properly. It's either going to be somewhat burned, too much nitrogen, or it's not going to have sufficient, it's going to be yellowed, and so on. So don't bring the grain from a Beta Zivalim. And same thing is true about a Beta Shilachim. If it can't grow on natural water, then probably it wasn't exactly what it needed. The Lomi Beta Ilan, and if this is grain that's been growing in the middle of a field, an orchard, then the trees have been utilizing most of the nutrients, and this is not going to be high quality grain. However, in the event that you did, it would still be kosher bidi avad, because it was only bikurim that we had the pasuk that told us that it might not even be kosher at all. But certainly in our pivot to the Menachos, there was no bidi avad psur. Kate said, Huosa, how do you know that you're getting the best quality out of your field? Now, this, because it's presented here in terms of the dinim of Kodesh, also serves as beautiful advice to farmers and gardeners. Because if we're looking to get the highest quality grain from Menachos, obviously, there might be people who are looking for getting the highest quality grain out of their fields. And therefore, it's a good lesson for farming. So this idea of what do you do, Ketzer Oseh, is applicable to general farming. What would you do to get the best quality out of your land? What you do is you plow it in year one, but you do not sow it. And you let all the nutrients seep in. You plow it so that you've plowed under any weeds that are going to seep out the nutrients. And then the next year, that's when you go ahead. Bishana shniya zora, that's when you plant it. Now, the Mishnah has not explained to us, and we're going to look at it in the Gemara, whether you do a second plowing before planting in the next year, which would normally be done, or is it okay to even rely on the original plowing for the plant? That we'll see. And in that year, you sow it at the best possible time, which would be Kodam LePesach Shivim Yom. That would be 70 days before Pesach, and 70 days before Pesach, which is the time that you've got just the sun to be available as soon as the growth comes out on the surface. And that's going to give you a long growing period. And at that time, you're going to get very high quality. So then it'll make solid merubah. Now, when you bring it into the Beit HaMikdash, the Gizbar is going to look it over to see whether it really is high quality. How does he do that? To see whether you've actually sifted out. Remember when we were talking about the sifting and using alternate sized filters, which is used, I pointed out, is used commercially today, alternating filters, so that you first allow the dust to be with a fine filter, and then it's not going to get stuffed up by anything large because it won't be able to stuff up a very fine filter. Then you use the larger filter and you keep alternating back and forth until you get rid of all of the dust, which is not what you want. You want the actual solid. You don't want flour dust. You want solid, actual grains of flour. So the way that the Gizbar looks to see whether it's properly sifted is he takes his hand and he puts his hand into the flower. If he takes up his hand and it's got dust on his hand, he says, goodbye, buddy. You go back and you do this properly. So psula achi nafina, the guy's going to have to sift it properly. Ve'im hitliya, and if the flour became wormy, it can never be used at all. It becomes pasul. You can't just remove worms and use it. All right, so now we've seen what to do to get the best out of the ground, but it doesn't say what to do about sowing it in after plowing in the second year or not. So, what did the Mishnah mean? Did the Mishnah mean to be read like this? Nara shana rishana ushniya, and then, meaning ushniya, you would also be nara, and then zo'a? Or are these completely separated clauses? Nara shana rishana, and ushniya, you go ahead, and you're zorea without further ado, and you don't plow it again. Well, tashma. Take a look at the Braita, which makes it clear that it needs to be plowed both years. The Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Av Chite Kazayin Ukvar Achim. You should know that the Chitim that are grown in these two places, if only they were closer to Yerushalayim, Hayu Meviimahem, we would definitely bring the Omer from there. But the thing is that they're too far away, but they had it down to a science. Because Lomaisa, Eime Vienna Ta Omer, Elamina Sadot Amudra Mot. First of all, you want to have barley growing for the Omer Dafka on fields that are located with a southern exposure, and the ones that are Menunarotakach, the ones that we have left plowed and from the year before, gathering all of their energy for this purpose. Shebehem chama zorachat, umehem chama shokaat. Because at that time of the year, the sun rises and sets on that southern exposure. So the first area it's going to get the sun early in the morning is going to be the southern exposure, and the sun will set in the south still early in the year, and therefore it's going to have the maximum exposure to sunshine, which will give it the best growth. And Ketzad Oseh, how about the work that you do on the ground? What should you do to get the best results? Narasha Narishona, so you plow it the first year, but you don't plant. Ushniya, in the second year, you plow it again. And not only do you plow it once, you plow it twice. So you're choresh vishoneh, and then you plant it kodem lepesach shivim yom, and that way the growing period is going to be at the time that it's going to get the most of the sun, because the sun, as it becomes spring, the sun is going to start basically going more to the north, and you're not going to get that early morning and late night exposure. So because of that, we want it to work out right around the best possible time. That best possible time is actually the fifth day of Shvat, which is Shivim Yom Kodem LePesach, and there you'll have a very long sunshine season of growth. And I tell you, if you do it that way, Oseh Kana Zeret V'Shibolet Zartayim. Do you ever see a grain stalk that had double the amount of grains than it had the space of the stalk for the grains? Usually it's the other way around. You got this long,
high as an elephant's eye, right?
What's that?
As high as an elephant's eye.
Right. The grain was as high. So it makes the kana zeret and the shibolet is zeratayim. Then you do the katsira and the imor and the disha, your zora and your bora and your tochein and your merakade, and then you bring it to the gizbor, and now comes the moment of truth. Gizbor machnis yadol tocha. If it's got any speck of avak on it, this is lousy grain. Go back and take care of it, buddy. So ina alta biyado avak omelo chazor v'napeh otashnia. Go do this correctly. Mishum Rabbi Natan Amru, that is the cheapest way of doing it. I say what the Gizbar does is he first oils his hand. So now his hand is very sticky, See? He puts his hand through all of that grain. Now, if there was anything in that grain, it ain't there anymore after he finishes moving it across his fingers. And he is going to be male every last bit of dust, if anything is there. But anyway, what did it say in this bright, as far as our question was there a second plowing or was there not? Well, it says over here, Beferish, Choresh, Vishoneh, so obviously there was a second plowing. No, excuse me, sir. This Braita is an outlier. It has nothing to do with our question. What did we ask? We asked, when I read in the Mishnah that he is going to allow it to be Nira, Ubishniya, we wanted to know, does Nira mean period, and then Ubishniya Zora, or does it mean that Berishana is Nira, is not Zora, and that goes on to be read Ubishniya. So the Nira, he did another plowing in the second, and then he's Zora. But this Braita says that they were Choresh twice. Now that is completely off the wall because that wasn't an option. So how can you bring a Raya from a din that is not an option at all? How can you bring a Raya that this is the explanation of the Mishnah? Menachem, you've gotten much younger. I think this is a great idea, and maybe you should keep it up. But don't get too much younger. So now, what happened? I was looking at the old Menachem there. All right. So you can't bring a Raya from an outlier, and the question still stands. Did the Mishnah mean to do a second Charisha in the second year or not? So let's read that inside. The time, if you think you can bring a Raya from this Braita, the Braita, it says Shoneh. The Matniti never said Shoneh, for sure. I mean, that was never even a Havamina. And the Braita does say Shoneh. And I still want to know whether the Lashon and the Mishnah, Uba Shana Shniya Zorad, is that an extension of Nara Shana Rishana Uba Shana Shniya? I still have that question. Well, that doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me at all. Because here, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a field that's been used before. It's a field which is Avodah for years. For sure, I don't need a second Charisha. But in the Braita, we're talking about where it was never, Bichlal never cultivated. So it's not an outlier. It's just telling you what to do. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's an outlier. Okay, obviously, you can't bring a Raya from it. Okay, so what's the bottom line? My Haviela. Do I need a second Charisha in the second year, or can I rely on the opening Charisha in year one? Tashma, here I'm going to bring you a Raya that you don't need a second Charisha. Because the brightness is like this. Nir Chetzia, the Zorea Chetzia. What you can do to maximize the output of a field, Mr. Farmer, is that you plow your entire field, but half of it you leave near without any seeding, and the half of it you do Zriya, and then the next year you do the same thing again, and you plow the whole thing, and you leave the part that before you had been Zoreya, you leave that near, and then you're Zoreya the other half. So you see that we did not say that you need to plow in the second year should be, therefore, in the Mishnah, the same thing. Narashana Rishona and the Bishana Shnia Zor'a. So that Mishnah, the Braita that says you need to have a second plowing is clearly not what our Mishnah is saying. This is the Braita that explains our Mishnah, essentially. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Ein mevi'imet omer ela me'asavdot ha'mudron bo'cher v'eretz Yisrael. As we said, you have to have a south exposure field. Shebehem chama zurachat, umehem chama shuka'at, and tanya na'mi'ochi abba sha'ul omer. The omer used to come from Bik'at Beit Makla. And that area, that was a very rich field, and it was kibat shlosh sa'inaita, and it was a sada mudremetaita, and the Chama would rise, and the morning would rise and set on this beautiful Bika in Beit Makla. And in addition to that, the way they would work it was near Chetzia v'Zorea Chetzia, near Chetzia v'Zorea Chetzia, which provides the most efficient use of the land. And Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, he had a little tiny plot of land that nobody thought he'd be able to make a living off of. And he actually did this. He was near Chetzia v'Zorea Chetzia, and near Chetzia v'Zorea Chetzia, and it yielded double of the Al-Khatray, and he was able to get along with it. And not only that, he had a very special market and farmer's market for Reb Chilkiya Bar Tuvi wheat. And it was the best wheat for Smida, which is the highest quality. You need the highest quality for that flour. So you see that indeed that is the best way to grow. And then the Mishnah said, if it became wormy, it becomes pus. So now, when we say became wormy, I mean, what does that mean? We found a worm in the whole pile? Or does it mean we found a worm in one grain? Or does it mean any grain that was wormy? So, Tana Rabbanan, Solat she'it lia ruba pesula. Chitim she'it lia ruba are also pesula. So if you find most of it is wormy, you can't rescue it and you can't use it. But the question that Rabbi Yirmiyah wanted to know is, if you're talking about separate kernels, chitim she'it lia ruba, what does it mean, ruban? Does it mean most of the kernels? Or does it mean most of the kernel? So is it berov chita or berov sa'ah? First, we want to know what the din is about flour. Okay, so if rov of it is infested, so then you can't use the entire container or the entire sack of flour. But when you're talking about kernels, I'm not quite sure what you mean by rov. Do you mean the rove of a kernel? I mean, obviously, any kernel that's infested has to be gotten rid of. But if there's even a minor infestment, and there's a little bit of a kernel that is affected, and it's the rove of the kernel, but not the rove of the kernels, but not the rove of the kernel, how do we understand that? Take them. Boiro, how about if a person gave hektish, wormy wheat, is that an iser of being magdish, a balmum? If somebody takes a behemoth that's a balmum and he gives the balmum to the Beis HaMikdash, he is going to be chayev even on the hakdosha, not only on a haktara of a balmum. So would actually grain be the same? Do we say that kivan de pasul, it's the equivalent of a balmum? Or is the concept of a balmum very specific to the animals, the mumim that are listed on those animals? Odilma ein ba'almum ela bivehema. I see that we've got a hand of a David.
Is there an issue to be makdish a balmum?
Yes.
As an animal?
It's a lot, you're chai malka.
Why would we think to include...
We'll see. We're going to see. We're going to have this question raised three separate times. Oh. And in the end, we'll have the pshat by the Ravid that will explain. I'll wait till the end why each time we left off with a take. So here's our first time, binogea green, and we're saying take. Now, we also have a Mishnah in Midos talking about the Lishkas HaEitzim, where if somebody would give Eitzim for the Mizbeach, call Eitz Sheninze Botolat, Basula Gabi Mizbeach. You can't use wormy wood on top of the Mizbeach. And that also is that it has to be the craft of Mishaula, and it says over there, Timimimi Yulachem, which we understand to mean anything that you put on the Mizbeach, including even the wood. And remember, according to Rebbe, a wood is a type of korban. And therefore, if it has a tolat in it, it's pasul. Omar Shmuel, well, it's only pasul if it's fresh wood. If it's been dried wood and it's got a little bit of a worm in one place, it's not going to affect the entire piece of wood. You can cut off that piece and the rest of it is kosher. And here too, boy, Rava, suppose someone gave wormy wood to the Beis HaMikdash. Is he going to be chayev as giving a balmum or not? And this is a reference to the din of Rebbe, who holds that. Remember, we said that eitz is a korban, and it even needs kmitza, and it needs hagasha, and therefore it should be the same, possibly, as bringing a korban balmon. So what do we say? Kivan de pasul ke balmon dami, o dilma ein balmon ela bivema. Here too, keiko. As I said, first, we're going to see past the Mishnah into the other questions